thousand generations are falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. In all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
Oh. Good morning again, church.
Morning.
Glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad that you're here, and I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, the love of His people. I pray that you feel His Holy Spirit. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you. You have a free gift for our guests down at this end of the foyer after the church, after the service is over. Would love to meet you. Matthew chapter 7 is where we are today. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to pick it up in verse 24, but before we start reading, let me kind of set, you notice there the very first word is therefore. It was interesting last week, Joel, I didn't coach him on that. He actually made mention of that. But when we see the word therefore, what do? We go back to see what it's there for. So Jesus had been speaking about entering through this narrow gate. He had been talking about bearing good fruit, and those things were a response to knowing Him, having a relationship with Him. So we pick it up in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus said, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who's built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are invited, and we trust you're here. Would you, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. How many of you know much about Tropical Storm Amelia that happened in July of 1978? Okay. Well, I know. I'm quite familiar with it. When I asked that question in the early service, that is satellite imagery of the coast of Texas in Louisiana as Tropical Storm Amelia was coming in. So I told this story a few years ago, but I was in 1978, I was a senior, had just graduated from high school. It was my last summer youth retreat with our youth group, and we were going to Possum Kingdom, and me and three of my buddies, we were seniors, and so we knew everything, and we could do anything, and we went on ahead of the rest of the youth group. We went to Possum Kingdom to reserve sites. We had two pickups. One of those pickups had a camper shell on the back of the pickup, One was pulling a camper, one of those pop-up campers, and the other was pulling a boat, and we went down there, the four of us, a day early to reserve sites. We were having fun. We had everything set up, and we were skiing and doing what knucklehead 18-year-old boys do. And the park ranger came down. We thought we were in trouble, which we hadn't done anything to be in trouble, but he walked up and he said, "Y'all's moms and dads called, and y'all need to head home. It's flooding in Abilene. You need to get home." And so we threw everything very quickly in the back of the camper, and we headed towards Abilene. If you know that route, you come through Albany. We made it to Albany, and, well, actually, I'm backing up. I missed this part in the first service, too. Before we got to Albany, the pickup that had the camper shell, which had all of our stuff in it, broke down. So we pulled it into a farm there, a rancher that we asked them, "Can we leave this here? It's broken down. We'll come back to retrieve that later." And they graciously allowed us to do that. And we just all piled, if you can imagine, four hairy-legged 18-year-old boys in a single cab pickup. I'm sure one of us was sitting in the other one's lap. I don't know. But we're all scrunched into this pickup, and we think, well, okay, we got maybe an hour or so to get home. We made it to Albany and got to the bridge that you're going to cross to Albany before you go up the hill? You remember that as you're leaving town? That bridge was washed out. And literally 18-wheeler oil trucks, trailers, had washed down and run into this bridge. And it wasn't, I would say washed out, it was buckled. It was like this. And so we turned around and we're thinking, oh, well, we'll go and we'll head north and we'll go around. Those roads were flooded out. So we'll go south and those roads, we're going to go back the way we came. The water had come in behind us. We were trapped in Albany, Texas. And this was a serious thing. This tropical storm, Amelia, I actually did some reading on this. It was the second largest tropical storm in the history of the United States of America. And as I was mentioning that in the early service, Richard and Kitten Arthur, which many of you know Richard and Kitten, he told me after the service, he said, "We were on the coast when that thing hit." And this was a major, you saw from that satellite imagery. The Guadalupe River, I don't remember the exact number of gallons that it normally flows through there, but I do remember this number. It was 1,500 times the flow through the Guadalupe River, through that storm. 1,500 times its normal flow. It was a massive storm. 13 people died in Albany alone, many more throughout the state of Texas. It rained 12 inches in Abilene. It rained 12 inches in 24 hours. Even Abilene was flooding. So it was a massive deal. Four 18-year-old boys, we were scared to death. We were scared to death. And we had, in the haste of leaving the truck that had all of the our stuff, had the camper shell on it, all of our suitcases and everything, all of our stuff, our wallets, was all in that camper shell that we left at the farmer's house, and we couldn't get back to it. So we found ourselves where every person would go when they're in a storm, the Dairy Queen. Albany Dairy Queen. If you drive through Albany, stop and say thank you to the people. They saved our lives. That Dairy Queen was on high ground. Is this on? It was on high ground. It was safe. And all through the night, we were there, trapped there all night. And we didn't have any money. I went later in the evening when we were all thought we were about to starve to death. I went and asked the lady if we could work for food. And she said, "Honey, you boys order anything you want." And let me tell you, it was on. We're talking double meat, double cheese, large onion ring. It was on. So, but in the midst of being safe in that, we're hearing people come in and say they found another body washed down the river. They found another 13 people in total that night, lost their lives in Albany, Texas. Today's message, facing storms. Facing storms. And so Jesus says that it's not a matter of will we face storms, it's a matter of when we will face storms. That we have storms coming in our lives. And one of the things that I learned, and we learned in Albany, and I've learned since then, the time to prepare for a storm is not during the storm. We need to be prepared on the solid rock before the storm hits, in anticipation for the storm. I've seen this, you know, when it's storming and the wind's blowing like crazy and everything, and you're outside trying to nail up windows, I mean, and tying down tarps and stuff. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The time to prepare is not in the middle of the storm. So knowing, trusting, and serving Jesus is the solid rock that we need to be prepared in that way for the storms. One of my favorite old hymns, I love this hymn, My Hope is Built. My hope is built. It's in our hymnal, page 368. My hope, and I'm just going to read the first verse and chorus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the hope that we have. I dare not trust the sweetest rain. What he's saying is, I don't trust that it's always going to be good. But wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And it wasn't Jesus, but I thanked God that night for Dairy Queen. And I thanked God that night for those people that were so gracious to let us come in there. You got to remember, we had been swimming and we had cut-off shorts on and T-shirts, and we were wet when we got in the truck. And I remember going into the bathroom. I was freezing to death. I remember going into the bathroom with the hand dryer. Going, Y'all can picture it, can't you? It's good to be prepared for the storm. So I'm going to dive right in here. Through the storm, Jesus provides peace when you're anxious. He is the God of peace. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. When we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, we have peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. Peace be with you. Over and over, Jesus is giving peace, and he says, I don't give as the world gives. You've heard me say this, that the world's peace is defined that when everything's going perfect, when there's no storm, we have peace. That's not what Jesus is saying. He said, in the midst of the storm, I give you my peace. He provides peace when we are anxious. I'll tell you, some of you who've been through storms in life know what I'm talking about. I've shared this before, but I hadn't planned on sharing it this morning, but it's coming to my heart, so I will. But when my brother had his accident, and when we were in Lubbock, and I remember very clearly, it was a traumatic time, and I remember a nurse coming to me and thanking me for our family's reaction to what was going on. And man, I thought, golly, we're a mess. I mean, what are you thanking me for? And she said, I work in this burn unit every day, and I can tell when people have Jesus and when they don't. There's either peace or panic. And that seared into my mind and my heart and my spirit is that when the storms come, Jesus is our peace. Doesn't mean the storms are easy, but he provides peace when we are anxious. Secondly, through the storm, Jesus provides power when we are weak. He provides power when we are weak. When we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, we have power. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So we have peace And we have power through this God, through this Holy Spirit that we worship. 2 Corinthians 12, you know, Paul, I say this all the time. Paul was, I look at Paul and I, the Apostle Paul, and I say, that was kind of God's guy. Over half the New Testament was written by Paul. And yet Paul had struggles. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 12. To keep me from becoming conceited, he's talking about this vision that he had. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. And we don't know, I believe that that's symbolic of some struggle in Paul's life. This thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. You ever been in a storm in your life and you've pleaded with the Lord to take you out of the storm, to remove you from the storm? But God said to me, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect when you really, really try hard. Oh, it doesn't say that? It's made perfect in weakness. And that's flipped from what our culture and our world tells us. No, they're saying, suck it up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, try harder, and you'll be successful. No, God is saying, when you have nowhere else to turn, be weak, let me have it. My grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul does, he says, he responds the way all of us I know will, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. We all delight in weaknesses, don't we? I delight in insults. Oh man, we love those insults. In hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When he's weak, when we are weak before God, I can't even tell you how many times that I'm talking, visiting with folks that are struggling with something, and how many times I say, you need to let the Lord have that. You don't need to carry that anymore. You need to let the Lord have that. And there's this symbolism, just when we release it to him, he takes it. When we are weak, he is strong. Through the storm, Jesus provides peace and he provides power. Thirdly, through the storm, Jesus provides protection when you are afraid. You know, I'll tell you, man, it's hard to go back that far back, but I remember in Dairy Queen, as people were coming in saying they found another body floating down the river, those kinds of conversations, I remember thinking, man, how close were we to getting flooded out and being one of those bodies floating down the river? And we were afraid. I'm not afraid to admit that. Psalms 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock. Notice it says, my rock, my God, my Savior, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I know this sounds really, it's probably in another version of the Bible, but he's my Dairy Queen. Probably never thought of God as your Dairy Queen, have you? But for that night, that was our strong foundation. That was our safety net. He's my place of safety. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. Do not be afraid. Why do we not have to be afraid? Because he's with us. Whatever the storm brings, he's with us. He walks with us. Peace or panic? Fourthly, through the storm, Jesus provides a plan and a purpose when you are uncertain. He's at work. He's at work in the storm. You know, I'm kind of flashing to the scripture where Jesus is asleep in the boat. and a storm rolls up on the disciples. And I mean, Jesus had it. I mean, you know, he's napping and they're like, we're all going to die. And then they get mad at Jesus. They're frustrated. He's like, wake up. Don't you see? We're fixing to die. And I can just see Jesus kind of going, okay, okay. Storm, be still. And think about what that moment did to the disciples. When they saw the power and the faithfulness of Jesus in the midst of the storm, I bet that got their attention. I bet they grew. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He's at work. He's at work through the storm. Life is tough without Jesus. Life is tough with Jesus. But life is certainly tough without Jesus. I say this all the time when someone is going through a real tragedy in their life. I just think all the time, how do people make it without Jesus? We have him. He is our strong foundation. We have him to lean into. How do people make it without Jesus? He transforms, listen to this, he transforms pain into purpose. Only God can do that. Yesterday I was thinking about this, and so I brought it up here to show you. This is Haitian metal art. And this used to be a 55-gallon oil drum. And I don't know, in our culture, I would think that, an old used oil drum it's good for taking to the dump, basically. But in Haiti, I got corrected with the name from the early service. In Haiti, they take these, what we would see as discardable 55-gallon oil drums, and they transform it into beautiful art. This is just one sample of it. There, you can get on the internet and just put Haitian metal art, and you'll see all kinds of beautiful things that they do. But the process is they take these 55-gallon steel oil drums, they burn the excess oil off of it, they cut the drums open, and they flatten them out with a hammer. Then they create different designs by punching holes in the metal. And you've got to remember, Billy and I can remember, that when in these third world countries, you remember in Mexico how they they cut the rebar? You know, we need to cut rebar to build a slab. You know, we got to have these electric chop saws and all this stuff and everything. These guys got a pointed rock in Mexico. They got a pointed rock and they banged on that rebar and then they turned it over and they banged some more and they turned it over and banged some more until it broke the rebar, and that's how they cut the rebar. The whole foundation, Billy and I were kind of going, whoa, we're kind of spoiled. But these artisans from Haiti, they use ice picks, chisels, anything that can put a dent in the metal. And if you come after the service, you can come look at the intricacy of what they do. It's amazing to think that was an old oil drum. So God is at work in the storm. He transforms pain to purpose. He's molding us. He's shaping us into something that brings him glory. James 1, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God is at work. The word also tells us that we are his masterpiece to bring him glory. What strikes me is how many of us feel like a 55-gallon throwaway oil drum, and all we have to do is let God just lay ourselves on his workbench and let him go to work on us. Because he has a plan. He has a purpose for us. That Albany flood, I learned a lot of things in that flood. I learned that you need a safe place. I also learned, you know, I remember the next day, my dad and one of the other dads come driving up to pick us up. They got some structural engineers to come, and one vehicle at a time could go across the bridge, and it was kind of like driving on a roller coaster to get across, but they felt like it was strong enough for one vehicle at a time. So one by one, they were letting cars in and letting cars out. And I remember seeing my dad pull up to pick us up and take us home. We need a strong foundation. We need not just an earthly father, but we need a heavenly father, a daddy that loves us, that protects us in the storm, that walks with us through the storm. So when the storms of life come, and Jesus says they will come, I mean, it's not a downer, that's just life. We live in a broken world. When they come, who do we put our faith in, or what do we put our faith in? Is it family and friendships? And those are good things, but maybe the family or friendships is the storm in some cases. Our career, you know, the successful career, our health, do we put our faith in our finances? You know, as I recall, in the Great Depression, there were people jumping out of windows that put their faith in their bank account. In our popularity, in our own strength to navigate. I don't know. I feel like Joshua right now to proclaim, as for me and my house, we will trust the Lord. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. If you would bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for being steadfast. Thank you that you are the high ground in our life. And there is no storm that can remove you as our foundation. I thank you, Lord, that you're the only one who can transform pain to purpose. You're the only one that walks with us steadfast, that gives us peace and power and protects us and gives us a purpose in our life. Father, would you, there may be some this morning right here, maybe perhaps even at home, that are in a storm right now. Would you draw near? Those who are hurting, would you draw near? Do what only you can do. Father, you are so much greater than a Dairy Queen. There is nothing that can come against you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. We love you. We trust you because we're standing on you. Bless those who are struggling, Lord, with storms right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Billy mentioned, there will be some folks available for prayer down here at the front after the service. I will be in the foyer and would love to greet you and greet our guests. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, don't leave this place without knowing him. Come and visit with me about that. If you'll rise as we worship.
devil's mountains. Calls out highways through the sea. I've seen its power unravel battles right in front of me. It is a faith that stands defiant. Sends Goliath to his knees. I've seen as praise and raveled shadows right off my feet. That's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. And that's the
against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. That's good news, church. Go weather the storm. Go grow in the storm. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.